Sounds FM.
Hi, this is Callie. Hi, I'm Juliet.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
Hi, I'm so young.
Hello.
This is Sam's FM, the voice of Shanghai American Middle School.
Hi, this is Miss Gay, and you're listening to Sam's FM.
Welcome to today's interview with John Marsden. We're going to delve into the world of award-winning author John Marsden. What makes him tick? We may not find out today, but you'll probably know a lot more about the man behind the magic. Mr. Marsden, could you tell us about a book that you've read more than once?
Yeah, I guess Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. It's an oldie but a goodie, and I love it because of the characters. There's not a lot happens in the book, but the characters are kind of delicious, and I go back to it every 2 or 3 years and read it again.
What about an idea for a novel that you eventually abandoned?
There's, 50, 100 of them, and they're on my computer in obscure little files, and some of them are written out in longhand, and they're literally in the bottom drawer of my desk. So there's plenty of them. One was about two brothers who were separated at birth through adoption, but met up again when they were teenagers without realizing that they were in fact brothers. I might go back to it and write it one day. I still like the idea.
John, can you tell us about a musician or a band or a song that you really love?
Okay, what kind of music do you like?
I hate to be kind of 60s and predictable, but Bob Dylan still does it for me and has been doing it for me since I was about 14. There's something about his music that's kind of lawless and something about his music that is definitely subversive. And just the lyrics. I mean, I'm always attracted to good lyrics. And his lyrics are among the more poetic of the last 50 years or so. They sure leave Britney Spears for dead.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, he jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down. Met him in a cell in New Orleans. I was down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age. As the smoke ran out, he talked of life, he talked of life. Laugh clicked his heels and stared. Said his name Bojangles and he danced a lick across the cell. He grabbed his pants and feathered stance, whoa, he jumped so high. And then he clicked his heels. He let go a laugh, he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. He danced for those at minstrel shows and county fairs. Throughout the South, he spoke
is how his dog and him traveled about. The dog up and died, he up and died. After 20 years he still grieves. Set a dance now at every chance in honky-tonk for drinks and tips, but most of the time I spend behind these county bars. 'Cause I drink so big. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, I heard someone ask him, please, Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance.
Okay, let's change topic a little bit. Can you tell us about a meal you love to eat?
Well, my eating habits have changed a lot in the last 2 years. I had a heart attack about 2 years ago. Before that, it was pizza for like breakfast, lunch and tea. Now, I tend to go for the steamed vegetables, which sounds pretty boring, but you can acquire a taste for them if you really work on it. And I look for low-fat candy and low-fat biscuits, and there are some out there. So if you really search the supermarket shelves, you can still get a reasonable diet of all that junk food that I've been living on for so long.
Okay, so you've cut out the junk food as much as possible, but what's a meal that you still really rather pass on?
I've seen some chicken feet here in Shanghai that didn't appeal all that strongly. In fact, chicken feet generally tend to not appeal to me. There are about three foods I really don't like, and I don't know why. Pineapple, asparagus, and cucumber. It's totally irrational, but for some reason, I just can't eat them.
What's a book that you consider a really great book?
I was telling some eighth graders I admire books that show you more about the world or human relationships or human beings and somehow illuminate the truth for you. And books like Dirt Music by an Australian writer called Tim Winton, Disgrace by a South African writer called J.M. Coetzee, and Border Crossing by a British writer called Pat Barker. In the last 10 years, they'd probably be the three books that really stand out for me as true classics that I think people will still read in 100 or 200 years.
Well, besides Shanghai, what's a place you'd really like to visit?
I'd love to get to Africa and India. They're two areas that are kind of vast, and I've never been near them, so I regret that very much, and I'm still hoping to get to both of them in the next few years. I still love Paris. It's like the world's greatest city, I think, and I was lucky enough to spend 5 months there some years ago. So every so often I burst into a little nostalgic journey as I relive my times there. Le soleil passe son bras par la fenêtre. Les chasseurs à ma porte comme les petits soldats qui veulent me prendre. Je ne veux pas travailler. Je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier. Et puis je fume. Déjà j'ai connu le parfum de l'amour. Un million de roses n'embaumerait pas autant. Maintenant une seule fleur dans mes entourages me rend malade. Je ne veux pas travailler. Je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier, et puis je fume. Je ne suis pas fière de sa vie qui veut me tuer. C'est magnifique être simple.
le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier. Et puis je fus.
Can you describe to us a really scary experience you've had, or a really scary dream?
Yeah, grade three was scary. We had a scary teacher. She was pretty mean. She screamed at us all day long, every day. One day she was screaming at us so loudly that her false teeth flew out of her mouth. And there was so much momentum behind them that they almost hit the back wall and in the classroom. And none of us even smiled. We were so scared of her, we knew that she would kill us if we laughed. So we sat there just kind of trying desperately not to laugh while she retrieved her teeth and dusted them off and popped them back in her mouth and screamed at us for a bit longer. So I figure I was pretty lucky to get out of there alive.
Okay, can you tell us about a really wonderful experience you had?
Apart from visiting Shanghai? Yeah, last year I went to Canada and I was a student in a course run by a guy called Keith Johnson, who teaches improvisation and drama. But he's really teaching about life, and I found that truly inspiring. He's a wise guy, he's about 72, he's got a fresh way of looking at the world, and he helped me to see things from a different perspective. And as a writer and as a human being, that's always a very nice thing to have happen.
Can you tell us something about you that you enjoy as a hobby other than reading?
Yeah, reading's still my number one hobby. I like to get out in the bush and wander around and just look at stuff. It's very refreshing to sit in the bush for a while and just watch the birds. Where I live, I'm very lucky because there's a lot of animals like kangaroos and wallabies and other furry creatures, and a lot of birds. I've been there for 6 years, and in that time we haven't really used any chemicals at all, and that's a deliberate policy. And that's meant that over that 6 years I've seen an explosion in the population of insects and birds in a very healthy way. And so wherever I look now, I can see dragonflies and butterflies and mosquitoes too, admittedly, but not too many of those. And just interesting winged things. And I think as a result of there being so many insects, there are now, like I say, a population of explosion of birds as well.
John, can you tell us about something that really bugs you?
Wow, how long do I have? I think perhaps more than anything, it's people who want to see everything in black and white, and they see things in very shallow terms. And it's sort of a waste of time getting into an argument with people like that. And yet I still try, and I still bang my head against the brick walls of their closed minds. And there are so many of them out there. So they want to see everything in simplistic terms, and they'll say that the cause for A is B, or this is the truth about that situation, or this is the truth about that person, and that's the end of the story. And you try to suggest that there may be other truths, that you can have many truths about one situation or one event, and they just don't want to know because they don't want their brain to have to work. And so, yeah, I don't know how as human beings we'll ever break that down. It's always been the way, and it may always continue to be the way, but it still bugs me.
Okay, tell us about something you really enjoy doing.
I've got two dogs, and one of them's called Trevor, and he's pretty old now and arthritic, but he's still a great dog. And the other one's called Coco, and she's young, and she's like a dog on springs, and she just bounces everywhere. So taking them out walking is a real joy, and they love it so much, so I enjoy watching them. The thing about dogs, they're like babies, and is in that they show their feelings immediately. There's no restraint. So if they're happy, those tails wag, and they bound along, and their tongues are hanging out panting, and they're just smiling at you. And if they're unhappy, the tail curls up under their belly, and they kind of, the head goes down. And so when I see them just absolutely jubilant, then that's a really nice feeling.
Thanks, John. Can you tell us about a sport or a game that you like to play or watch?
Yeah, I love watching rugby, even though I hate playing it. The reason I hate playing it was because I was completely and utterly hopeless at it, and you don't generally enjoy things you're hopeless at. I went to a school where rugby was compulsory, and we were graded according to ability from the A team down to the H team in each age group, so you could be in the under 14 A's, B's, C's, right down to the under 14 H's. And I was the reserve for the under 14 H's. So that's like as low as you can sink in life. And yet somehow I ended up with this love of watching rugby, even though the last thing I ever want to do in my life is to go anywhere near that ball.
Is there something you haven't done but you would really, really like to do someday?
I really resent the fact that life's so short and we don't get to do more things, because there are so many jobs I want to do and so many places I want to live in, not just visit. So often I'll go to a city and I'll think, I want to live here for 2 years, 3 years. Or I'll go to a school like this one and think, I want to stay here for a year or two and be a teacher here. And there's just not, you know, I'd need to live about 800 years to do all that stuff. I remember going to a town in New Zealand, a town called Nelson, and thinking, I want to live here. I want to come and live here for at least 3 years. And I know that that just won't be possible to fit that in.
Well, conversely then, is there something you never want to do?
Yeah, I never want to be a dentist. I've always thought that would be the worst job. I have nightmares. I remember when I was about 14, queuing up to get an actor's autograph, a famous British actor called Patrick McNee. And when I got to the front of the queue, I said to him, this must be the worst job in the world, signing all these autographs. And he looked at me and smiled and said, there's a lot worse jobs, believe me. And that always stuck in my head. And so now, if I'm signing autographs or whatever, I keep thinking of those words and think, I could be a dentist. So I think I'll just keep signing these autographs and not complain at all.
Do you have a favourite place or environment that you write in?
Yeah, boring places are great. Boring environments. If I'm in a motel room or at an airport, there's nothing else to do, so I write. That's the perfect motivating place to write. You either watch TV or you write. And although I like watching TV, there's a limit to how much I can watch. That's where I'm at my most prolific when it comes to writing.
Okay, do you have a favourite device or tool that you like to use? And it doesn't necessarily have to do anything with writing.
Well, I did have until last month. I went through Singapore Airport and I had this Leatherman tool that was one of those great ones with about 18 different gadgets on it. And I forgot to put it in my baggage. And so it was in my carry-on bag. And, of course, they confiscated it. Well, the scary thing is that they didn't confiscate it in Indonesia when I left Indonesia. But when I arrived in Singapore, they confiscated it. And they said to me, you'll be able to pick it up in Melbourne. So in Melbourne, I waited at the luggage carousel, and the bucket with all the confiscated items came out through the carousel, and my Leatherman tool had disappeared and has never been seen since.
Okay, a couple more questions, please. What do you think is the best book you've written?
The best? I guess I'd probably say Looking for Trouble. Because I think in that I kind of achieved what I wanted to achieve, and it's pretty rare to be able to say that in life about anything much, especially books.
Okay, then you consider that your best book is Looking for Trouble. What's your favourite book that you've ever written, though?
Probably Winter. I like it because she's such a strong character, and I like strong characters. She's gutsy, she takes charge of her life. She makes things happen. I was smiling as I wrote it because she's just so spunky. She gets out there and does stuff.
Yes, Winter is my favorite book of yours too so far, but I'm looking forward to many more. This has been Miss Nugent talking to Mr. Marsden, our visiting author for 2004.
We'll be right back. This is Miss Gay, and you're listening to Sam's FM.
Sam's FM.
This is Sam's FM, the voice of Shanghai American Middle School.